Good afternoon.
Oh, you know, we're just bracing at this news. Here we are approaching the first anniversary of the war, and there's talk of this Russian offensive. What are you seeing? What do you think are the possible scenarios here?
There may be signs already that the offensive is beginning. Vladimir Putin has gone through a number of generals. Now he has put his top military man, General Gerasimov, in charge of the operation in Ukraine, and Gerasimov has to show some results. So the Russians are throwing everything they have at Ukraine. The private army, the Wagner Group, has brought in tens of thousands of convicts who are used as cannon fodder. We see this around Bakhmut. And so even though the Russians are incurring vast numbers of casualties, they are willing to sacrifice people for this wild dream of conquest that Vladimir Putin began this whole aggression against Ukraine almost a year ago.
And where are we just in terms of weapons, military aid to Ukraine right now? I mean, can you bring us up to date? And I guess with a particular eye on Canada's contribution.
There are two ways to look at it. We've come really an awfully long way from the time when the Germans, for example, were only willing to give Ukraine helmets and meals ready to eat, to where now they have agreed to provide tanks. So from that perspective, the West has dramatically changed its attitude towards providing armaments to Ukraine, towards supporting the independence of Ukraine, towards confronting and facing down Russian aggression. But if you look at it from another perspective, the West has been very slow to provide the arms that are needed for Ukraine, not only to defend itself, but to recapture territory that has been illegally occupied by Russia. And so the Ukrainian president said something very important. He said that while you in the West are thinking about providing certain armaments, the Russians are busy killing us. The West has been very slow. So tanks may make a difference, but they have not been delivered yet. The weapons that we are providing collectively to the West, from the West to Ukraine, we chose not to give to Ukrainians 3 months ago. That training that is necessary to use tanks, to use advanced weapons, for instance, the HIMARS that are longer range, we have not provided those. But the training on the shorter range HIMARS took time. Training on tanks takes a significant amount of time. We haven't done that. So there's a question that really needs to be asked. And is it the case that the West, and especially the most important country in the West in Europe, Germany, are they more afraid of Ukraine losing this war, or are they more afraid of Ukraine winning this war?
You know, something else that's taken our attention this week are the internal issues plaguing Ukraine. Corruption is the story. President Zelensky's had to fire several of his own team because of it. How damaging is this?
In fact, it may turn out to be a very positive for Ukraine. The EU has been very lavish recently in its praise of the steps that have been taken. Ukraine had a significant corruption problem, continues to have that, not on the scale of Russia's, but it is an important one. And corruption has been part of the transition of states away from communism. And Ukraine, for many years, before Zelensky came to power, wasted a lot of time, became more enmeshed in corruption. And corruption is corrosive, not only economically, but politically. And so it has to be addressed, and the fact that it's being addressed vigorously is a really good sign.
Yeah, well, there have been reports this week about the mixed effect of sanctions against Russia. What does your own reading tell you?
Russia prepared for a long time against sanctions to make itself sanction-proof. It accumulated significant funds. It had created greater dependence on Russian energy. It had tried to stockpile all sorts of materials that they thought would not be easily available. So sanctions alone will not do the job. Sanctions do not have a particularly terrific history of coercing countries into backing away from aggression or reversing their aggression. they work best when they are operating together with other elements, such as a strong military posture, a strong military counteraction. And if sanctions in Russia are combined with continued and enhanced Western help, military help, as well as economic help to Ukraine, then those sanctions will begin to eat away at the Russian economy in a way that would cause enormous damage in the future. The Russian economy is already stalling. Russia is not only not able to export many of the goods that it has, the West Europeans have been weaning themselves off dependence on Russian energy, but the Russians are unable to buy key goods that are necessary even for the military machine, never mind for their economy. Oil exploration, energy exploration, depends to a significant degree on high technology that the West and only the West can provide Russia, and that is now being denied.
Well, and what about the toll on the people of Ukraine and the toll on the people of Russia? I mean, the diaspora that's growing.
It's a very important question, and it means two parts. The toll on Ukraine is enormous. The tragedy that has befallen the people of Ukraine is almost unspeakable. The number of refugees, the dislocation, the people who have died, people who have been injured, it is absolutely horrific. But Vladimir Putin has not only caused tremendous damage to Ukraine, he has also caused perhaps irreparable damage to the Russian people. And this is why the sooner this war is concluded with a victory by Ukraine, because any other way, Vladimir Putin will just get stronger, more aggressive, and make more demands. But if this war is concluded successfully, this would not only benefit the people of Ukraine, it would also help the people of Russia, because Vladimir Putin has been a disaster for the Russian people as well.
Oral, it's always good to get your perspective on the latest developments. We always appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on.